Today is the sixth Sunday of Easter. The scripture lessons are from Revelation chapter 21, verses 9 through 14 and 21 through 27, and the Gospel of John chapter 16, verses 23 through 33. Today's message is titled, Filled with Joy. Revelation chapter 21, beginning at verse 9. One of the seven angels, who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues, came and said to me, Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven. From God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, 3 on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Jumping down to verse 21. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. The great street of the city was of pure gold, like transparent glass. I did not see a temple in this city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its light. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Here ends their lesson from Revelation. The Gospel of John, chapter 16, beginning at the 23rd verse. And again, this is from the night Jesus was betrayed, all in the upper room. Jesus speaking, In that day you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth. My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about my Father. In that day, you will ask in my name. I'm not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father. Then Jesus' disciples said, Now you are speaking clearly and without figures of speech. Now we can see that you know all things and that you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God. You believe at last, Jesus answered, but a time is coming and has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home. You will all leave me all alone. Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Here ends the gospel. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, thou hast given us thy word for a lamp to shine upon our path. Grant us so to meditate on that word and to follow its teachings that we may find in it the light that shines more and more until the perfect day. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Joy. What really is joy? Seeing as a child at Vacation Bible School, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Perhaps you sang that song as a child too. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Sometimes between those verses then, and you'd sing, and I am happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. Down in my heart, and I am so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. And then, of course, there's the verses, I got the peace that passes understanding down in my heart. Where? And, of course, don't forget this tongue twister one. I've got the wonderful love of my blessed Redeemer way down the depths of my heart. Remember that one? Did you have fun with it? I got the wonderful love of my blessed Redeemer way down in the depths of my heart. Where? Down in the depths. And there's that fun song, too. You probably sang it, too, as a child. If you're happy and you know it. I don't hear any hand clapping. Clap your hands. Okay, if you're happy and know it, clap your hands. Okay, the second verse. If you're happy and you know it, stomp your feet. And of course, stomp your feet. And if you're happy and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
And if you're happy and you know it, I mean, you do it all three. That last verse, do all three. Clap your hands, stomp your feet, shout amen. Okay. What's missing? What's missing from that song? Theologically speaking, what is missing from that little ditty? What's missing? Specifically missing, being specifically clear, what's the reason for being happy? And with your face surely showing it, it's implied the reason is Jesus, because you're at Vacation Bible School or you're at Sunday school, it's implied the reason is Jesus for the joy, why you're happy, why. But what's missing? It doesn't say specifically where the first one, I got the love of Jesus down in my heart. I mean, which part when you were a child, which part did you like the most? The clapping the hands, the stomping the feet, shouting amen, doing all three. Now I can tell you as a boy, the parts I liked the most was stomping the feet and shouting at the top of my voice, amen. I mean, all my little lungs could do that, the joy of stomping feet, you know, jumping as high as you could to jump. Did you do that? Or, of course you did. I mean, lots of fun. I mean, stomping feet. I mean, but what's the joy? What's the reason for the joy of the happiness in that song? I mean, with what's happening around us in the culture right now, people are struggling to find joy. I mean, gas prices, they've skyrocketed from $1.79 from November 2020 to $4.44. That's $2.65 more in a year and a half. It's more than doubled in a year and a half since November 2020. It's expected to go over $5 this summer, and they're saying even $6 come August. Grocery prices, they're shooting up too. Why? The cost of diesel fuel. It's racing up. And that impacts production. It impacts delivery of the food. And skyrocketing cost of fertilizer. You know, components of fertilizer are petroleum byproducts. You cut back in production of petroleum. You cut back on the byproducts that make fertilizer. The fertilizer that helps grow these giant crops of fruit. I mean, it's all imploding. I mean, the scarcity of the infant formula. And you know, these things bring images of Revelation. Do images of Revelation cross your mind with the suffering and tribulations? Maybe around the corner. as the economy screeches to a halt because a ripple effect's coming from Shanghai being shut down. A ripple effect's coming. And then there's the hedge funds. The hedge fund managers, using their clout and their weight by voting stock proxies, pushing ESG policies, that environmental, social, and governance scores, those government scores, those ESG scores, they're entirely arbitrarily decided. They're based on trending politics of the moment, not sound fiscal and scientific truth. And then Dr. Malone, I encourage you to learn about Dr. Malone. He rightly states this monkeypox stuff, it's fear-mongering. Fear-mongering. Learn about it. And then, oh, this coming week, there in the elites of the world are gathering in Davos, Switzerland, at a posh Swiss Alps resort, the World Economic Forum, scheming. Yes, scheming's the right word. Led by Klaus Schwab. Claiming the world, he said this past week, claiming the world can find salvation at Davos 2022. And Schwab also said, he's warning contrary voices will simply not be tolerated. The world's elite thinking they have the answer, they can bring salvation by changing the way businesses operate to their definition of virtuous economic systems for the greater good. Which is also their definition of greater good. In short, this is evil. The elites, as governing the world, will dictate to those below them, as the feudal system of ages past did. The few will rule, and the masses will be overseen on a global scale. Where does the Judeo-Christian worldview fit in this? It doesn't. It doesn't fit in their worldview. You know, schooling yourself on current events and looking forward from the current events to what may come, it can be depressing. And we see a lot of people looking for joy today. In the newspaper, Clark County and the region area, people taking their lives is skyrocketing. All this is happening. How do we help them find joy? How do we help them find joy? According to Jesus' words, John chapter 16, verse 1 through 4. All this I have told to you so that you will not go astray. They will put you out of the synagogues. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. Yet even these kinds of times, you can find joy. Yes, even in these, you can find joy. Joy is to be found deep, deep, deep down in our hearts. Perhaps you've heard of the decluttering guru, whose model revolves around the word joy. Simply lift up your thing. Does it bring you joy? Or does it spark joy? If it brings you joy or spark joy, keep it. If you're hesitant in your answer or no, get rid of it. The emotional question, does it bring joy, is this guru's central message. But then you pull up another expert who answers that basing things, these decisions on does it bring joy, does it spark joy, that gets it all wrong. The emotionalism of does it bring joy places emotional happiness on possessions. Life is defined in terms of possessions. And we all know fads such as Pet Rock, Cabbage Patch Kids, Tickle Me Elmo, the fads of the past. Well, what will be the next fad? Possessions do not bring joy, as window shopping probably found out in your own life. This other expert's qualifying question is, does it help me fulfill a greater purpose with my life? In other words, a better question is thinking in terms of goals of life. Is there think of the goals of life, greater purpose in my life. A big difference between tidying up your home and freeing up your life. Fulfill a greater purpose. While it is somewhat better than does it spark joy, still can there be a better perspective? Possessions or purpose for joy? In life, they really do. do still fall short of real, true joy. Joy is not dependent upon the ups and downs of life. Joy that flows from the soul, that shouts forth in great joy, no matter what may be happening at this moment. Joy is there. Great joy. John 16, as Jesus is about to be betrayed and suffer greatly for all of mankind, he speaks of joy. Just before suffering on the cross, Jesus speaks of joy. Jesus speaks of grief. Grief that will turn to joy. Grief. Grief. Yes, grief. For Jesus will be betrayed. And they will be scattered. The disciples will be scattered. Grief. For Jesus will be cruelly treated with scourging, tearing the flesh of his back. Grief. Seeing Jesus nailed to the cross and dying on the cross. Grief as Jesus is laid in the tomb and the stone rolls into place with a great thud, sealing the dead Jesus in the tomb. Grief, that is vexation and distress of pain from sorrow that brings a person down. Oh yes, being brought down. Grief, great grief. This great, that great emotional pain that brings forth the uncontrollable and inconsolable sobs from the soul, shaking the whole body as the tears flow in torrents down the cheeks. Grief, that great grief will turn to joy. Joy. That joy is what to focus on in your life. Here, in this section of John 16, here the Greek language is able to communicate much better than the English. For the words translated as joy to the hearers of Greek will bring up the fullness of the meaning of joy. The joy that their grief will be turned into. Joy in the Greek is chara, which is etymologically. I knew when I typed it in, I shouldn't have typed it in, but I thought it was a big fancy word. I should have skipped it. But etymologically, hey, I got it. Linked to the two other Greek words. Yes, it's linked to two other Greek words. Kehiro, keiro, and keris. Keris. So in English, these are the three words. Joy, be glad, and grace. In the Greek, a Greek hearer would link those words together. In the English, we don't link those joy, be glad, and grace. Yes, it's all linked to grace. Kara, joy. Kari, be glad, are linked to charis, grace. The joy, the gladness, is because of grace. Grace, that is the Lord God extending himself to reach us with his favor. For he is disposed to bless and be near us. The Lord God wants to bless us and be near us. And it's linked, I mean, all of this, this joy is linked to the grace. The Lord God extending us to be with us. God wants to be with us and wants us to be with him. Why? For we are made in the image of God. And we were created to be with him till sin tore asunder that relationship. All through the ages, grace has been freely offered. It's all through the scripture, this grace. Properly understood, joy is the awareness of God's grace. Joy is that grace recognized. Joy because of grace. The disciples' grief will become joy because God's grace was freely offered to us in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. One's joy is not found in possessions that spark joy. One's joy is not found in having a worthwhile purpose in life. Rather, this joy, this kind of joy, this joy is found in the grace of Jesus Christ, who was crucified and rose from the dead. Joy rooted in and found in the one who rose from the dead and will never die again. for in him is life. True, real joy is found only in the grace of God through Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Son of God. This joy in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is such that no one can take it from you. Yes, that's the phrase in Scripture. No one can take it from you. The Greek word translated as the phrase "no one" is a powerful negating conjunction. Powerful negating conjunction. What it means, it rules out and leaves no exceptions and excludes everything. In other words, nothing exists to take your joy you have because of God's grace in you. God's grace in you brings the joy, and nothing can take that joy away because God has freely given you his grace. John chapter 16, beginning of verse 24. So with you, now your time is of grief. But I will see you again, and you will rejoice. And no one will take away your joy. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Now in these verses, Jesus gives the instruction to ask anything in his name, and you receive. This asking is oftentimes taken out of context and is used to ask for, well, anything. Go ahead, ask, and you'll receive. Matthew 7 and Luke chapter 11, Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. If then you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? But a little earlier in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and of his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. This asking, sort of like a genie in the lamp, is taken out of context. Ask and it will be given to you. Ask whatever you want. And people immediately rush to, well, I want this possession. I want that possession. This ask has nothing to do with that. Asking in Jesus' name. First of all, it's very profound. For what you are asking for must be worthy of Jesus' name. Think on that. Asking in Jesus' name. Is it worthy of asking in Jesus' name? Luke chapter 11, that ask and you receive. Luke adds this, and how much more will your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Holy Spirit infused asking. Asking in a manner worthy of Jesus' name. Asking that brings one's life into greater spiritual life with Christ, under the influence of Christ, living out the will of Christ with prayers and thoughts as Christ, such as the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus said, your will be done, not mine, when praying to the Father. That is the kind of asking Jesus is speaking of. Approaching God in Jesus' name, ask, yes, ask, not for possessions or for purpose that are fleeting and of this world. Ask for what will last into all eternity. More of the Holy Spirit. More of Christ in your life. More of the Father. So that through you, others come to know Christ as Savior and Lord. Ask for these things that reside in the spiritual and enter into the spiritual battle. And that spiritual battle is growing. Troubles are coming. Troubles are coming, but still, you may have peace. John chapter 16, verse 33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Yes, Jesus has overcome the world, for Jesus rose from the dead. Death and the devil could not keep him. Grace freely offered for the forgiveness of sin and life in Jesus Christ. It's for you, for everyone. Grace through the risen Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. There is joy. Real, true joy. And we can have it in the here and now, and it will carry with us all the way into the forever, which is into the presence of the living God. In that day to come, when this world will be no more, for the Lord God has made all things new, as we hear in Revelation. We'll be there, where there is joy. Joy beyond the ability to express. Joy for the redeeming in Christ. The redeemed in Christ. Joy for the redeemed in Christ will have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. As Revelation 21 states, Revelation 21 verse 27, nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's where the joy is. That's where the joy is. Martin Luther is said to have written, the gospel is nothing less than laughter and joy. Laughter and joy. Another lesson appointed for this day is a portion of Acts chapter 16. I encourage you to read it later today. But Acts chapter 16 verses 9 and 10 for you this morning. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. In short, Macedonia says, come, help us. Paul concludes God is sending them to preach the gospel. Help us. And the help coming is the gospel of Jesus Christ. As was help then, is the same help now the world needs. The gospel of Jesus Christ. For the joy of Jesus' redeeming grace is what heavy burdened hearts and troubled souls really truly need these days. A man at Davos said, salvation at Davos. That's what they're saying. A man said, salvation at Davos. No, that is evil. It is of the devil. Salvation is found in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Christ crucified and risen. The redeeming price paid in full. The finished work of Christ on the cross. This is the real reason for genuine joy in you. Joy rooted deep down in your soul. Joy that cannot be thwarted, extinguished, nor destroyed. Joy in the forgiveness of sins. Joy in life everlasting. Joy, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Joy that one day you will be in the very presence of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, full of the Holy Spirit, where endless joy beyond words of expression will be forever and ever and ever and and without end. I mean, I could go on and on. Joy and possessions? Nay, that will never do. No spark of joy can compare with being filled with the joy of Jesus that goes on into the very presence of God. Joy and purpose? Nay, that will never do. For human efforts will always fall short compared to being filled with the joy of Jesus and the finished work of Christ on the cross. Joy. This kind of filled with joy. Joy at the most basic is delight in God's grace for you. Delight in God's grace for you. Delight in what Christ has done for you. Delight in the finished work of Christ that has redeemed your soul, set you free from the bondage to sin, and has given you everlasting life. Joy that Jesus is alive. Be filled with joy, for you are a redeemed child of God. And this is of God. Your joy is of God. Be filled with that joy, for God has claimed you his own child. And you will be with him forever and ever and ever. That is joy. That is inexpressible joy. It's real joy. Be filled with that joy. Delight yourself in the grace of God and the finished work of Christ on the cross. There you will be filled with joy. Amen and amen.